minutes past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Also, I got a special welcome to the Christo-Fascist Zombie Brigade whining babies. Yeah, you know, all of a sudden, they're the ones who are just going, oh, no, look, so people in our own party are leaving. They're making compromises with the bad guys. I love it when they start feeding on themselves, Mark Riley. Good news, exciting stuff. We're going to get into it shortly. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. I still got a little chest thing going on. I don't know what.
Yeah, I heard a caller actually had a cure for you.
I think we actually have the caller. Yes, Chris. This is it's amazing when I talk about things. It's amazing. I mentioned my cats twice yesterday. I haven't talked about them in months. Bam. Dozens of emails. Dude, you know, the female cats are never going to come around, you know, because they're females, and, you know, people are writing about cats, and then we get this voicemail because I talk about this thing that's been sort of irritating me. A lot of people have it. But this is a guy named Brian up there in Everett, Washington, who's a frequent caller to the show, but sometimes a little over the top. You know, he spends a lot of time awake. We're assuming that... he has an inconsistent mental disposition, but a good guy. And he
inconsistent mental disposition.
I'm being diplomatic, man.
Okay.
But he did call with a reasonable assessment of my illness.
Mark Maron. This is Brian Caldwell from Everett. I have the Frist Cam, the Lung Cam, the Aqua Lung Cam, and I believe you have pneumonia. There's nothing wrong. You need to get some antibiotics. Go to the doctors, and you just take them until it's done. Then you're done. Then you're off them, and it's no big deal. Some of this technology works. For God's sake, we eradicated smallpox. Go to the doctor and get some antibiotics, and then once you're cured, you're done. They'll give you 2 weeks' worth. You have pneumonia. It's pneumonia. It's not. It's the rocket pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu, man. And it's catching, you know, because you got it, and you got the fever. So more cowbell, baby, and don't fear the reaper. Get some antibiotics. Thank you. Bye.
Don't fear the reaper.
And get some antibiotics.
Wow.
Thanks, Brian. I know he's up. We just made his day.
Let me tell you something.
What?
I think it's the air in here, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm telling you.
Unless it's the same air that I got at home.
Let me tell you something.
What?
If you listen to another host at a different station in the afternoon, as I did yesterday, and heard her cough every 5 seconds with that same sort of phlegm-filled stuff that you do.
Sounds like
you
a great show.
You understand what I'm saying?
Every 5 seconds? That's a
I'm
good
telling
job.
You, man.
Just so like, how's everyone?
Yep.
No, I still think I'm a little sick. I do think there is something funky about the air in here, but I don't
that's
think
okay.
That,
we're moving.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue with me. It might be a mild bronchial. I'm going to go to the doctor. That's it.
There you go.
Hey, you can come see me and Mark in person. We'll be broadcasting live next Friday, June 3rd, from City Bakery right here in New York City on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues from 6 to 9 in the morning. Come on down, have some coffee, hang out. Maybe we'll have some giveaways in the morning. It'll be fun. Later in the program, we'll be giving away 5 pairs of tickets to a screening of Second Best, starring Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants, as he's known. And obviously you've known him from The Sopranos, from Risky Business, from Midnight Run. He's a funny guy. He's going to be on our show tomorrow. I watched some of this film last night, Second Best.
Yeah.
It's shot on video. It's got Bronson Pinchot in it. Patricia Hearst. Patty Hearst is in it.
Patty Hearst?
But it's a devastating little movie. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I don't necessarily love things shot on video, but it was... It gave me a sort of, it made me excited that maybe I could shoot a movie if I wanted to, number one. And number two, it's about guys who are filled with, it's about this guy who's filled with jealousy, feels like he's a loser, and just never shuts up about it. And certainly I understand that. I've been through that in my life.
This was shot in North Jersey, right?
It was shot in North Jersey, but it's a very crass, very intense examination of the bitterness that men feel. We'll talk to him about it later. Let's get into some news. So, Priscilla Owen slides through with it, just like through a goose.
Yeah, nice work, Tex.
Yeah, I mean, what is that?
Hey,
bam!
she won confirmation, as everybody thought she would. A couple of senators, Democratic senators, actually voted with the majority. A couple of Republican senators voted against her, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
Yeah, and of course, as you very correctly pointed out at the beginning of the show, Mark, the Christo-fascists are not at all happy about the process by which Priscilla Owen got confirmed. This deal is sticking in their craw.
They're freaking out. They're freaking out. And as we've always said, they are very good at propaganda. They're very good at grassroots networking. But they are a minority, and they're starting to feel the sting of that. And it's amazing to me how these fanatical right, you know, Christian fundamentalists who are part of the base of the Republican Party are behaving. They're behaving like children who didn't get what they wanted. They're screaming that it's unconstitutional, that, you know, everything that went on is anti-American. But they are the true anti-Americans. And now they are dealing with, you know, compromise, which they just can't handle because they're children.
Well, they can't handle compromise, and they threaten to take it out on people at the polls. And I say, bring it. Come on. Let's see what you got. Let's see if you're really as strong as you're making everyone believe you are. Just because you helped win a presidential election doesn't make you the boss of me. I'll tell you that right
now. That's right. And you can't have anybody. And the way their propaganda works and the way they bullied people, you know, certainly in the media and certainly on a community level. I mean, I was just in Cincinnati, and I was surrounded by Republicans.
You sure were.
And I'll tell you something. You feel it in the air, and the biggest crime of it all, and the biggest horror of what happens when you have this type of propaganda in the atmosphere is self-censorship, is that you, as a liberal, as a progressive, as a Democrat, as somebody who has something to say other than what they have to say, do not feel that you have the freedom to say it, and you're checking yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's really scary, because that's the mind game that they play on you. Now, Bolton, John Bolton could go through today. Is that possible?
I think he might not go through today. There are new questions about John Bolton and how he shared classified information with some people who were being monitored by the National Security Agency. This thing is not done yet. There's a couple of Democratic senators that want this put off until after the Memorial Day holiday. You notice how many holidays these guys take on Capitol Hill?
Yeah.
It just seemed like just last week they were off for a week. Well, they got the Memorial Day holiday coming up. Bolton's nomination may not come back up until June 6th.
Is there a chance that he's not going to go through? Is there an outside chance that he's not going to go through?
There is always, until he's voted up or down, there's always an outside chance he won't go through. Remember, a lot of people thought he would be confirmed already, and that hasn't happened. So, yes, there is a glimmer of hope. As long as there are people in the Senate who are going to start talking about it, and specifically Joe Biden and Chris Dodd, Joe Biden from Delaware, Chris Dodd from Connecticut, are saying we want more information about these classified documents and exactly what Bolton did with them.
Well, speaking of an up-and-down vote, Harry Reid, the Democratic Senate leader, is demanding an up-and-down vote on these stem cell bills.
That's crafty.
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, you know, he's using a little bit of this wedge. Now, I want to go back a little bit and say that, you know, the compromise that was made, the deal that was struck between these moderate Republicans and some of these centrist Democrats is what they're calling themselves. It's not really a deal, and it doesn't really stop the Republicans from bullying people out of a filibuster, as we'll see in a minute. But Harry Reid is demanding, because he sees that there is some political momentum to this, demanding an up-and-down vote on the stem cell research bill. Now, this is a bill that would enable the federal government to fund a bit of this embryonic stem cell research that is appearing to be could be extremely helpful to people with Alzheimer's, to people with diabetes. It's progress. It's medical progress in the right direction.
It's medical progress in the right direction. And what you have now is the Republicans' orthodoxy coming back to bite them on their butts. Because Harry Reid said, okay, you want an up-and-down vote on judge appointments? Well, let's have some up-and-down votes on some of these other things that the Republicans were prepared to try and bottle up in committee. And the interesting thing about this, Mark, is that now people are saying that there may be enough votes in the Senate to override a Bush veto, unlike in the House.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting to me is that we've got to move forward with this stuff. We can't let these religious fanatics and people with moneyed interests. We had a call yesterday that made me do some serious thinking in terms of stem cell research. You know how much money is spent on diabetes treatments a year? Billions of dollars. Alzheimer's, billions of dollars. The pharmaceutical industry has a big investment in people remaining sick. And oddly, the evangelical religious community, the religious religious extremists in this country have a lot invested in lost souls. So the more people they are that are unwanted in the world, the more shots they have at bringing people into the fold and exploiting them. And the fewer cures there are out there in the world, the more money the pharmaceutical companies make. And these are the two factions in this country that pretty much own this president and pretty much are jockeying to own the country. So it's a very, it's not beyond coincidence that this is possible.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about the stem cell thing is that there's an unlikely ally in trying to get this to the floor. That's Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, because he has cancer.
He has cancer, and there's a pretty tremendous quote, if I can find it, from Arlen Specter about that, you know, where he just said, I look in the mirror every day, barely recognize myself, Specter says, and not to have the availability of the best of medical care is simply atrocious.
Yeah.
See what happens when you start to look death in the eye? I mean, you know, this is real stuff, and we have a shot at really representing the world in medical progress, but it's not going to happen if these religious fanatics and their interests are honored in the Senate, because you know who's going to get it? You know who's going to get the big research money and who's going to really make the breakthroughs? We'll tell you in a second. Stay with us. 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Mark Maron's mom, and you're listening to my son and his friend Mark Riley. They're very good boys. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition. We are the Marks. So look at that, Priscilla Owen. Bam, she's in just like that. This compromise, this deal, whatever the deal meant to some progressives, it didn't mean much because they can still initiate. The Republicans can still initiate the nuclear option if they decide that the Democrats step out of line. She's in. Bolton might get nominated in the next couple of days. That could be held up for a while. Stem cell research. Harry Reid, though, in a moment of
clarity
and a little bit of political momentum, demands an up and down vote on the stem cell bill. But it is a story. The government said Wednesday will give an extra $1 million in funding for cloning research and stem cell research. Which government? The South Korean government.
That's right.
They're way ahead of this. This guy, Hwang Woo-suk, made headlines last week when he created the world's first embryonic stem cells that genetically matched injured or sick patients. Isn't funny what he could just say for the guy's name, isn't it? He's a genius.
Yeah.
Hwang Woo-suk is a genius. And we're going to be talking to a stem cell later. Yeah, I did just say that. We're going to be talking to a stem cell later. But this is interesting stuff. What they were able to do was clone some embryonic stem cells from DNA that were taken from an actual person for that person. This is a brilliant medical breakthrough. If you can take DNA and clone embryonic stem cells from the person you took the DNA from and that person is sick, imagine the possibilities. The stem cell is sort of the tide pool of genetic life. Like you can, it's the root gene. It's the root. How am I? I'm not a medical guy, but you can grow any tissue or organ from stem cells.
Embryonic stem cell.
That is what they're banking on. So look at that. So South Korea, you're getting drugs from Canada. Now you might have to go to South Korea to get your liver or your pancreas or your lungs or your Alzheimer's treated or your diabetes treated. And who knows how much that'll cost? But you know, Lord knows it. Lord knows. What am I? Where am I? But you know, we do know one thing: that this administration and many people within this government, the Christo-Fascist Zombie Brigade element, wants to stifle this research because they'd rather, you know, rule on the behalf of a wad of cellular material than help people cure illness that is paralyzing their lives.
And remember that this is not the South Korean drug industry that is funding this research. It is the South Korean government that is funding this research. And see, what we're going to end up, I think, noticing, you know, maybe 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
is that South Koreans start outliving Americans. Because
yeah.
they're developing this stuff, they start really fixing some of the problems and curing some of these diseases. And you're right, Americans will have to go there to get the cure. But when South Koreans end up living to be 120 or something, then we'll know that we should have funded the stem cell research here now.
And not be, you know, regressive because of religious fanatics who happen to have loud mouths and represent a minority of this country. You know, the fact that we're buckling under a singular religious fanatic entity that, you know, that these are people that are trying to dictate the social, cultural, and scientific agenda of this country is baffling. And one of the leaders of the Christo Fascist Zombie Brigade, James Dobson, the founder and president of Focus on Family, yeah, actually called us out. He said something about Air America. He made a statement about Air America, about something we were doing, and we're going to address that.
Yeah, I can't. Guys like Dobson, guys like Tony Perkins, they make me see red. Ralph Reed, Gary Bauer, that whole cabal of people who pimp religion in the name of politics. They just make me so angry because they try to define who God is, who Christ is, and what America is for everybody else in this country. And who says they got it like that? Who?
Exactly. And who says that everyone in America has to have a God? Who says that? Who says that you can't act properly without a specific belief system? Who says that? Who says that people
Gary
can't
Bauer,
be...
James exactly. Dobson, well, all the rest of these clowns?
Well, they're just, they're jockeying for power. They're Christo-fascists. They want a theocracy so they can be in charge. They are barely Christian.
And they're hypocrites. Too many of them are involved in behavior that is, and I'm being charitable here, unchristian-like.
And what about this? That there's word that they're dubbing these people, this coalition of Democrats and Republicans that facilitated this deal that really doesn't do much but allow three nominees to get in as opposed to seven, perhaps. And yeah, I'm not happy with the deal. We're going to talk to Russ Feingold about the deal later. He's going to be on the show, but much later in the show if you want to hang out. But now they're also talking about they're going to sort of take a look at Social Security and some of the alternate ideas there. But they, I guess some of the ideas they're talking about also include private accounts, but some of them include raising taxes on people who make over $90,000, which, of course, to most Republicans is just a crime.
It's anathema, but it is not anathema to one Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, who is saying in direct opposition to what the Bush administration has pushed on, in terms of Social Security, no, I'm part of this 14, and I think we ought to be talking about increasing the taxes or extending them out past $90,000. What this coalition is going to be able to do will be very, very interesting to watch.
And, of course, the Christo-fascists are targeting Graham. James Dobson is targeting us, and we're going to say a prayer for him.
Targets all. When I hope my back is well, anyway.
We'll keep talking in a few minutes.
Yeah. Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Air America is Air America Radio. Air America Radio's morning sedition program.
Hey, can I get a free gum, please?
Sure.
Free gum? Free
Thank
gum?
You.
I needed that.
If you want to know the source of that, that was when our sound guy, our board op, Kalo, Chris, actually was an ice cream man. And he said this is what was the most annoying part of being an ice cream man is when kids would come up and say,
free gum, free gum, free gum, free gum, free gum.
And this is another time when Chris was talking about, I'm not sure where this came from.
I used to love the fat guys.
Yeah.
Free gum.
So together.
That's a totally different conversation.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but they go well together, though, don't they?
Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what they're saying. So thank God we have this machine, the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator, to decipher, to translate some of the today's headlines. Let's kick it into gear. That's so funny, isn't it? All right. From the Associated Press, U.S. troops launch new offensive in Iraq. U.S. troops launch new offensive in Iraq. Translation. Bush launches culture of life offensive. Yeah. All right. From ABC News, CIA overseeing three-day war game on Internet. CIA overseeing three-day war game on Internet. Translation. CIA corners hacker in Nerve.com chat room makes coffee dates. Yeah? All right. Okay. From Fox News, Colin Powell vying to buy D.C. baseball team. Colin Powell vying to buy D.C. baseball team. Translation. Powell lies to league, exaggerates threat of pitching staff.
I want that for a ringtone.
I know. Well, we got to figure out. And someday, we're only, what are we? We're only just over a year in over here in America.
We're in our infancy.
Yeah, yeah. It takes time to get a website working properly so people can download sound.
Free gum?
Can I get that? I don't want that as a ringtone. I'd like that as the tone where, you know, I know I have a message.
Free gum? Free gum?
Hey, I think I got a message.
Free gum?
You don't
free
have
gum?
A message. You actually have a phone call from Future Mark.
Oh, Future Mark, that guy's great. Put him through.
Hey, buddy.
Hey,
what's
buddy.
Up?
What's up?
I just came back from the movies.
The movies? Cool. People still go to see movies in 2050. That's good news. I would have thought movie theaters would just, like, you know, go away and movies would just play on a chip in your brain or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. We had that for a while. It's good for porn, but you can't take a date to a chip in your brain. Plus, never underestimate the popcorn lobby, my friend.
Oh, yeah, right. So, okay. So what'd you see then?
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, that's kind of old school. Was it the Earl Flynn one or the crappy Costner one?
Neither, Mark. It was me. I was Robin Hood, and I got to say, I was pretty great.
Awesome. So I've become a famous actor. That's excellent news.
No, dude. Everybody stars in their own movies now. You go to the theater, tell the seat what you want to see, and boom, you're watching Raging Bull starring Mark Maron.
Wow, that's cool. So how was that?
Well, we looked okay smacking Vicky around, but the fight scenes weren't that believable. We're not really the satin shorts type, if you know what I'm saying.
All right, so wait, let me get this straight. So I can be any character? That's great. I mean, what else can you do at the movies in 2050?
Well, if you want to stay at home and watch a movie, there's something called the Shared Narrative Archive.
The Shared Narrative Archive? What the hell is that?
Well, it's an enormous collection of memories, fantasies, and personal histories of pretty much everybody. And Seinfeld episodes. Those never go away.
Wait. So you can rent people's memories and fantasies and stuff like that?
Yeah, but you got to be careful. I mean, it can get pretty freaky, man. Like say if your wife cheated on you. You can rent it and actually watch it happen over and over and over. You can get addicted to the archive in a big way.
Man, that sounds brutal, dude.
No, because you can change the endings, my friend. Like, you can make it so you dumped her, and you can turn the guy she started having sex with into Nathan Lane. All right? Tragedy becomes comedy. Fantastic.
Whoa, what's that noise, man?
Let me check. Ah, jeez. All right, so here's the problem with the archive and the self-starring movie thing. The line between fiction and reality is pretty porous these days. And I was watching Terminator 3 last night, starring me, of course. And I must have left it in the player. So now the Terminator has escaped in my reality, and he's trying to kill me. Kind of sucks.
So wait, we're going to die?
No.
It's a T3, man. Run. You're screwed. Come on, get out of there.
No, take it easy. This thing happens a lot. I had the Eddie Murphy donkey from Shrek follow me around all last week. That was much worse.
Hurry up, man. You're scaring the crap out of me. Do something.
Mark, chill, okay? Just take it easy. I'm just going to have to hide in some other narrative for a couple of hours. Maybe Easy Rider. I get high in that one with Dennis Hopper, which is pretty cool. Later, man.
Whoa, wait. Before you take off into Easy Rider with Peter Fonda because there's a Terminator trying to... Man, that's weird, dude. But aren't you going to warn me about something?
Okay. Star Wars 3 just came out, right?
Yeah.
All right. Someone's going to ask you afterwards, hey, let's go somewhere and talk about the movie for a few hours. Don't do it, man.
Well, that seems like a no-brainer, man. You don't have to tell me not to do that.
This time I do. But go ahead if you want. Get kidnapped. No skin off my nose. Gotta go.
All right. Later.
Later, man.
Thanks. I love talking to myself in the future.
Wow.
It sounds interesting. Hey, come see us in person. We'll be broadcasting live next Friday, June 3rd, from City Bakery in New York City on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues from 6 to 9 a.m. You can come and watch Morning Sedition unfold before your very eyes.
There you
and
go.
See the actual Mark Riley in person.
What?
Yes.
I'm not going.
He'll be sitting right there having a donut or something with some coffee.
And we got swag, too.
We got swag. And
we're going to give away some swag.
Maybe we'll bring some grape soda for you.
There you go. Great knee high to the first 10 customers.
So, you know, the founder of and president of Focus on Family, James Dobson, has made some comments about Air America specifically that we're going to get to in a minute. But these are all, it's interesting to see these Christo-fascist zombie brigade types and also the, you know, hardcore right-wing freako types who are just really, really freaking out over this deal that was struck between the Democrats and the Republicans around the nuclear option.
Well, you know, they spent good money on this, Mark. They spent a whole bunch of dough and it didn't work out the way they planned. They really thought thought that they were dealing with all or nothing at all politicians, and what they realize now is they were dealing with politicians.
Well, they were trying to bully. The thing that's interesting to me is how much of a baby they really are. I'll tell you, they accuse liberals of being whiny or complaining very much, but these guys are the other kind of babies. They're the kind of babies that just scream and cry and yell because they didn't get to what they want, and they plan to do it until, you know, the grown-ups get so annoyed with them that they give them what they want, and they do it to their own people, you know. And it's really the worst kind of baby. And on top of that, they're anti-American. They are completely anti-American in their desire to let the majority run roughshod, you know, over everything that this country believes in. Democracy.
Well, yeah, and what they're doing is targeting some of the people who were part of that compromise who were up for re-election in 2006. Their vehicle for this is rightmarch.com. It's a political action committee. It's a website. And is leading the charge for, quote, patriotism in action. And they are amplifying that message through Newsmax.com. And they want to punish the Senate filibuster compromisers. In specific, they are challenging Lincoln Chafee in Rhode Island, Olympia Snow in Maine.
But look, the language of this, Riley, is horrendous. It's horrendous. It's like this is a posting that we pulled off of Newsmax from rightmarch.com, and it literally says with a punctuation mark underlined, punish the Senate filibuster compromisers. Alert. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the so-called, quote-unquote, deal put together by, quote-unquote, moderate Democrats and Republicans in the U.S. Senate. This quote-unquote deal was nothing less than a betrayal, all caps, of our president, the Senate Republican leaders, and the United States Constitution, underlined. Okay? I am angry, underlined, bold, all caps, lots, all caps, of real conservatives, hardworking, patriotic, red-blooded Americans who love our Constitution and believe it should be upheld, are very angry, all caps, about this quote-unquote deal. They are yelling at their own people. This is propaganda in its purest form. They keep bringing up the word anti-constitutional. There was nothing anti-constitutional about what happened. What they wanted to do was anti-constitutional. These rabid Republican freaks want nothing more than to just have a tyranny, a theocracy, a conservative language that is impenetrable. And what they were willing to give up in order to do that was the way the Senate works. They don't care about the minority. They don't care about checks and balances. They would love this to be a relatively fascist state. And the truth of the matter is, America is not behind them. America was upset with the way that the senators were acting like children. Americans, by and large, have good hearts. They understand people's needs on some level, and they want democracy to work for everyone. These people are freaks, and they're trying to bully people that don't know better into playing politics like it's some sort of team sport, feeding on people's hate, feeding on people's fear, and bullying them to make decisions around things they don't understand, you know, out of this contempt. And they call that patriotism?
They are targeting 3 Republican Senate seats and 2 Democratic Senate seats. Mike DeWine, Lincoln Chafee, Olympia Snow, Ben Nelson, Robert Byrd, those are the people that they want to vote out of office. And see, what irritates me, Mark, more than anything else, is that these guys are coming up with such ignorance. Here's an email from someone named E. Lathrop. When I grew up in the early 60s, majority ruled, no compromise, representative democracy in action. Somebody wins and somebody loses. Tough luck. Now, if you grew up in the 1960s, E., you might have known about the filibuster for example, in 1957, Strom Thurmond. The record for a single-person filibuster, 24 hours and 18 minutes against the Civil Rights Bill of 1957. Most people in America don't even know they passed the Civil Rights Bill in 1957. 1964, same thing. So the idea that people are throwing out the Constitution, or the very idea that this is somehow, that, you know, it was different back then, is absurd. If majority ruled, no compromise, there wouldn't have been any filibusters or civil rights legislation in the history of the country.
What about debate? What about checks and balances? These guys are pandering to people that don't know much. And I, you know, I don't know a lot, but I know that this is wrong. It's propaganda. It's coercive. And it's making people frightened to have, you know, human feelings about the way democracy should work, and, you know, and go against their instincts. And one of the great criminals in this type of propaganda is founder and president of Focus on Family, James Dobson, who actually made a comment about Air America. Can we hear that, Chris?
terrible. Air America just made comments about me saying that they wish I would die, and even my son, and that they were praying that we would die.
Now,
hey, wait a minute. That wasn't Dobson. That was Brendan McDonald.
No, that was Dobson.
That was Brendan. That sounded like Brendan.
No,
that wasn't him.
That was Dobson,
oh, that was
on
Dobson?
His on his radio show.
He
last
was serious.
Month. No, this is real stuff, Riley.
Wow. Okay. I thought we were joking again.
No, this was actual stuff from Dobson that he said on his radio show. I don't remember praying for his death. I do remember praying for Jerry Falwell's death when he was in the hospital. But I don't recall praying for James Dobson and his son's death. But maybe we can get something together here.
Shall we poll the host?
Hang out. No, hang out. We're going to see what we can pull together. It's 46 past the hour.
Join the Morning Sedition. Right now, call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Sound good.
One past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo!
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. James Dobson, founder and president of Focus on the Family, has called us out a bit. If you don't know who James Dobson is, here's some quotes. Here's some of his works. Here's some of this holy man's works. This man who calls himself a vessel of Jesus, a man of the cloth, sort of. Not really. He's a doctor. He's not even a real preacher. On husbands and wives. He writes books, this guy. On husbands and wives, quote, my observation is that women are merely waiting for their husbands to assume leadership. That's from his book, Straight Talk.
Hey, can you send that to my wife, please?
Yeah, right. I'll do that, Riley. I'll send it right over to your wife. She'll say, why the hell is that guy sending me stuff? What is it supposed to mean?
Yep. And she'll say it all in a British accent.
All right. On raising children, quote, pain is a marvelous purifier. It is not necessary to beat the child into submission. A little bit of pain goes a long way for a young child. However, the spanking should be of sufficient magnitude to cause the child to cry genuinely.
Uh-huh, but not enough to get the Bureau of Child Welfare involved.
That's from Dare to Discipline. Why give people that kind of... Why tell... That's just all...
And that's advice from a man who channels God?
From channels God, he's also a doctor.
I know.
On gay marriage, homosexuals are not monogamous. They want to destroy the institution of marriage. It will destroy marriage. It will destroy the earth.
Destroy the earth?
Yeah, that's from the Daily Oklahoman, October 23rd, 2004. And listen to this quote. Listen to this from Dobson about the judges.
Well, I heard a minister the other day talking about the great injustice and evil of the men in white robes, the Ku Klux Klan that roamed the country in the South, and they did great wrong to civil rights and to morality, and now we have black-robed men, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Huh?
Yeah. Comparing the judges, Supreme Court judges, to the Klan.
To the Klan.
And yet he is, James Dobson is, and his type of religion, Dominionist Christians and some of these Reconstructionist Christians that he is aligned with are actually the direct ideological disciples of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, here's what he said about Air America yesterday.
Air America just made comments about me saying that they wish I would die, and even my son, and that they were praying that we would die.
Isn't that weird? I think he learned how to talk from Pat Robertson, didn't he? But those are both from the family. Focus on Family radio broadcast. The one about us was yesterday, and the other one was a little while back. Now, you know, we didn't do that. We didn't. No, we didn't wish he would die. We said bad things about him. We actually.
You lost the script.
We didn't pray that he would die.
No.
But now it's time, I think, to pray, to say a prayer.
Oh,
for
now
James
here you go.
And his son Ryan, dear Lord. I know you don't really exist and all, but if James Dobson believes that strongly in you, I want to cover my bases. Hey, he brought it up. Praying for his death, so why not? Here it goes. Lord, will you take James Dobson up to heaven so that he can sit in your right hand and annoy you for eternity? I know I've asked you before, but never publicly. Like when Dobson compared recent steps towards gay marriage to Pearl Harbor, I prayed that a squadron of Japanese kamikazes would fire large-caliber battery-operated marital aids into his nether regions, just in case he started to enjoy it, that the batteries would start to leak until his insides melted and ran down his little chicken legs. Or when he threatened stadiums full of followers that not voting for Bush would be a sin, I prayed that the Reverend Moon would suddenly pop up and mass marry Dobson to all of the male attendees, including master sodomite Dr. W. David Hager, and that they would then consummate their marriages to Dobson right there on the 50-yard line with inadequate lubrication causing a friction fire that would consume him.
Ooh.
You could always still do it that way. I'd even lure him to the stadium with the promise of introducing Toby Keith to his bloodthirsty followers. And while we're at it, Lord, Dobson also claimed we'd pray for the death of his son, Ryan. So I'd be remiss to leave the younger Dobson here on this earth, mourning the mega-spectacular three-camera shoot jumbotron public airing of his father's sodomy-related death. So please, please take Ryan, the boys-to-men haircutted white evangelical rapper son of his as well. Take him, too. Hal, really, it's up to you, Lord, but you know it would be nice? Now, this is just a fantasy, of course, but it would be neat if you could reform NWA, including Eazy-E, and have Ryan Dobson open up for them at the Vibe Hip Hop Awards. And if you could, while Dobson is on stage, could you have Suge Knight try to sit in G-Unit seat? I think things would play out from there in a positive Ryan Death-type situation. But really, any way you decide to take these two mewling, proselytizing hate mongers off the earth is fine with me. Just make it hurt. Oh, and God bless Grandma, too. I think that's about it. Amen.
Well, now you've done it.
Now it's been confirmed.
Yes.
We have officially prayed for the death of James Dobson and his son, Ryan.
Dr. James Dobson.
Dr. James Dobson. Certainly not Father James Dobson.
Focus on the family. How does someone get the nerve to form their lips to say that this idiot has anything to do with family?
You know, yeah, you got me. He's saying, you know, beat up your kids.
Beat up your kids.
Gays
are going to destroy the earth. Not that they're just wrong, that they will destroy the earth.
And to think that these guys were entitled to try to bully in to politics by trying to, you know, bully the judiciary. These are the same people, the people that are aligned with Dobson, who put out basically death threats against judges in this country. Yeah, real Americans, huh?
Yeah.
Real Americans.
Now, coming up, we've got an interview with a stem cell. We've got Time's 100 Greatest Movies.
Yeah, and I didn't like those.
Later on, we got Russ Feingold, Senator from Wisconsin. All for you, next on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Yeah.
You're listening to Air America Radio. How's it going, Riley? All right?
I'm all right.
You hanging in? It's Thursday morning. Tomorrow's Friday. Today's Thursday. It's good. Got a big staff lunch coming up today.
Ooh.
We're going to meet some of the people that we have never met before. We're going to meet some of the... Apparently, we're going to be told what people do down there at the main office.
And eat egg salad wraps.
Yeah, oh, it's not egg salad wraps again. But that weird green egg salad with the avocado.
Hey, I like that stuff,
you
man.
You
a little salt at springtime.
Oh, I don't like egg salad, dude. I don't like it.
I ate it yesterday.
Oh, man. It's always kind of grossed me out. I don't mind eggs, but hey, what am I... Hey, come on. Is this a conversation we're having on a national radio show that is supposed to be dealing with important issues?
Okay.
But, you know, over easy, I don't have a problem with. I like
poached.
Hey, poached? Very nice. Poached.
No, hey, Canadian bacon. No.
If you'd like to see this magic live.
Scramble, my favorite.
Oh, look at that. Unfortunately, the scrambled guy is going to be up here in the bunker as we, next Friday, go to City Baker in New York City. We're going to do a live broadcast. That's on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues from 6 to 9. You can come touch Mark Riley.
Hey, not Netflix.
You can have coffee. We're going to have some giveaways. You know, I was told yesterday that I will not be giving away a cat. You know who I was told by? dude, I'm talking about. When was the last time I talked about those dumb cats? You know, and I love my cats, so don't get crazy. They're all great cats. But I actually joked yesterday that I might give away a cat, the black and white cat. I get a call on my cell phone. Mark, hi. You remember me. I'm the lady that helped you catch the cats. And I love your show. You guys do a lot of great stuff.
But?
Look, but, you know, cats aren't objects. They're just getting to like you. They're just starting to trust you. You can't just give away the cat. And as far as your wife coming, I have five cats and my house is immaculate. You know, you can learn to have five. And I was like, oh, my God. But you know what? She got me. Stuck in my
crop. She got you.
Of course she did.
She spends all day cleaning her house with probably Clorox and disinfectants and all. You got time to do that?
Well, no. I mean, you know, you just... They're
so
not,
you can't compare
there.
Her five cats to your cats? You do what you want to do with those cats.
And Aaron, we have to give away something.
Yeah.
So I say we give away a date with your neighbor.
And we're going to be giving away tickets in just a little while because Joe Pantoliano, you know him, Joey Pants from he was on The Sopranos, Midnight Run. He's a funny guy, you know, risky business. He's been in a lot of things. He's got this interesting little movie out called Second Best. We're going to give away tickets to that a little later. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. Now let's dive into today's issues, my friend.
Issues.
Today's issues. Priscilla Owen, bam, just slides in like... Look at that.
Oh.
Some deal we made, huh? Some deal those... Why do I keep saying we? Some deal those Democrats made. I mean, I am part of the we, but you know what I'm saying. Look, now three of these nominees, these judicial nominees, are going to go right through. The other four, who knows?
Up next, Janice Rogers Brown.
Right. Frist is already threatening that he could use the nuclear option again, you know, during the judicial, the Supreme Court to judicial nomination. I mean, so what did we really accomplish here? What we did accomplish is Harry Reid has gotten some nads, and he's demanding an up and down vote.
He wants an up or down vote on stem cells, much in the way all of these people have been demanding an up or down vote on Bush's nominees. Now, again, you know, they've already passed about 94% of the people Bush has put up. This fight, ladies and gentlemen, is about the other six. They want all of these people appointed to these lifetime gigs so they can, run these pro-corporate conservative rulings until they're old and feeble. That's what they want, and if people aren't careful, that is precisely what they'll get.
So what did they exactly, so then what did this accomplish? What did it really accomplish in terms of a political momentum for the Democratic Party? I mean, Russ Feingold, who's going to be on our show says it didn't accomplish anything. What they should have done is stood up to this bullying, stood up to these Republican bullies. All that's happened now is they've gotten these nominees through. They've gotten them through, yeah. And Bolton's probably going to go through. There is a snag with that, though, right now.
There's a snag with Bolton, and see, what happened here was of little benefit to the Democrats. It is of great benefit to the Republicans, the seven Republicans who helped make this deal, because they snatched this deal directly out of the hands of their own leadership, out of Bill Frist's leadership. You've got guys like Lindsey Graham. You've got John McCain. You've got Olympia Snow. These are the folks now who think that their centrist coalition will become a traveling roadshow. They're now talking about applying the same thing to Social Security. It's a move that they're making to try and grab at power in the middle of the American body politic. It's a very open question whether or not it's going to work for them.
Yeah, you know, but we've talked about the center before. Is there really a center? Are they really representing their constituents? Are they representing most people in this country? I don't know exactly. I believe that there are some issues that obviously went through with Democratic support. Bankruptcy legislation, the legislation to restrict victims' rights, the credit card legislation, that type of stuff really compromises a lot of people in this country. And are these the people that are representing us?
Well, these are the people who are saying that in the battle for the hearts and minds of the American people, they hold the middle ground. They are saying, look, there are extremists on the right, there are extremists on the left, and we are the people who really can make these kinds of things go forward. And see, what happens in political calculus a lot of times, Mark, is that if a group of people can get something moving, if they can get something passed, no matter how trivial it might be, it still makes it appear as though they have been able to break through this partisan Washington gridlock. And that's what they think is going to resonate with the American people, their ability to get something done. Now, the question of whether or not this was the right thing to do, the question of whether or not this is the main thing on Americans' minds, as opposed to gas prices, as opposed to more people getting capped in Iraq, that's an open question.
Sure. And I think one of the things that should be on everyone's mind is that this president's resistance to stem cell research. I mean, you know, Harry Reid demands an up and down vote. This is something that we should be behind as a people, because it ultimately will provide health care in a way that will really might cure a couple diseases. But this guy is stifling it. I think that Bush is against it because he's pandering to his religious base, which wants to make sure that every baby is had no matter what, because unwanted people and lost souls are where they make their money. And also, I think he's pandering to the pharmaceutical companies by saying, look, we can't cure anything because there's millions of dollars made in treating diabetes and treating Alzheimer's and treating spinal injuries. You know, this is devious, evil stuff. The interests of the people of this country and the world should be in creating new treatments that will actually, you know, help people.
Well, what they're doing is creating a very, I think, dangerous precedent here, Mark. They are acknowledging, they have to acknowledge that the stem cells that they get from an umbilical cord, the adult stem cells, go a very, very long way in treating certain diseases. There was a guy that went up on Capitol Hill, guy who had sickle cell, who was contemplating suicide before he was 10 years old.
Had a stroke at like 5,
at 5, and he's lived to be 19 when they told him he'd be dead before he was a teenager. Now, on the one hand, they know that is true. This guy said, if it wasn't for the umbilical cord blood, I would be dead. I would not be here. Yet these same idiots are turning around and arguing that the embryonic stem cell research, the embryonic stem cells themselves, can't do what the adult stem cells have already done.
Well, I think the real issue is they don't know if they can, but this government doesn't want to fund any research or get behind this thing to find out. So we're going to have to wait for the South Koreans to do it. The South Korean government has just put $1 million into human cloning for embryonic stem cell research in the way that they actually pulled it off. They pulled some DNA out of an individual, cloned some embryonic stem cells from his DNA, and that could treat that individual's specific problems. That's genius stuff. So get ready to fly to South Korea if they find a cure to Alzheimer's or they can help your diabetes. Get your drugs from Canada and fly to South Korea, because this administration wants, for whatever reason, economic and, you know, fundamental religious reasons, wants to keep us way behind the times.
That's what's going on here, and it is, again, another one of these battles that the Bush administration feels comfortable using children to fight, because that's what they did yesterday, the day before yesterday,
yeah,
when they brought all those kids down to Capitol Hill from the Snowflake Foundation, and they refused to answer the question, what happens to the embryonic stem cells that don't turn out to be kids?
A lot of them get thrown away.
That's
a
right.
A lot of them just disappear. These are just blobs of cells. You know what? Let's talk to one. Next, 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Hey, come on, wake up. Wake up.
Call us at 866-303-2270.
Why? Why? I don't know why.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
I'm listening.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Yo.
Morning's edition on Air America. The Mark. That's us. We are the Marks.
We are.
That's what we are. So the big conversation here is, it's not even a conversation. There's a lot of people that have decided that these blastocysts, these wads of cells, these little clumps of cellular material, are somehow human. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's listen to Tom DeLay on the issue of the stem cell.
Proponents of the Castle bill try as they might to find wiggle room. We'll vote to fund with taxpayer dollars the dismemberment of living, distinct human beings for the purposes of medical experimentation.
What are you, crazy? Dismemberment? They're cells. They're little wads of cells. My God, this is ridiculous. And people are like, don't kill the wad of cells. And what?
Hey, you could be wrong about
it. Yeah, well, no.
You could be.
What do you mean?
They could be alive.
There's no doubt that they're alive, but the truth of the matter is, so what? They're not a soul. They're
but
not
maybe
a
they can
person.
Talk and dance and party. And
well, that's the thing is that, you know, DeLay says that they're unique, integrated human persons. They're human beings. To help us sort some of this controversy surrounding stem cell research and the vote on Congress, we have a special guest. All right, this is heavy stuff. Please welcome Sammy the Semstel. Sammy, welcome. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Now, what is the controversy here? Aren't stem cells just blobs of unintelligent protoplasm?
Back off, loser. I'm a unique, living, integrated human person. I'm a tough mofo, so get used to it, you dirty Jew.
Hey, wait, whoa. You're not human. You're just a wad of cells. Did you just call me a dirty Jew?
Yeah, I did.
What is that about?
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Can a blob of unintelligent protoplasm do this?
What is that?
I'm flipping you the bird, man. I'm flipping you off.
Sam, you don't even have a hand.
Shut up. I'm a unique, living, integrated human person.
No, you're not. You're just a blob of cells that can't grow any kind of human tissue.
And I can grow into a nice new pancreas or a second face on the back of your head. So take your pick, funny boy.
That's right. Yeah, you can grow into anything. Okay, so look, I see that you're so full of self-hate that you've got such an identity crisis. You can't even see how remarkable it is that a mere stem cell can produce new cells in any part of the body and even grow new organs.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Uh-huh.
A second penis, right?
No.
What's the matter with the old one, Slick? Little tip for you. I am not a therapist. You might want to jot that one down for future reference.
All right, so you don't have any observations, opinions, any commentary at all about the stem cell debate?
Yeah. People are the problem. I hope I don't become one. Sometimes I wish I was just a cancer cell so I could wipe everybody out. Is that wrong? Is that a bad thing?
You're disgusting.
Yeah, and you're welcome. Hey, here's something else you could use me for. To grow a new ass.
Hey. You, man.
Hey, right back at you.
You're not.
Oh. And the horse you rode in on.
Thanks a lot. You're not.
Screw you, fella.
You're not fooling anything. You know, I want this guy to die. What is that?
And I want you to die, too.
Hey, yeah.
It's mutual, sucker.
Can you help my pneumonia? Some guy says I got pneumonia. I got a little bronchial thing.
It ain't pneumonia. I got something worse.
Oh, man. Get out of here.
I'm a unique, integrated human being.
No, you're not. You're a wad of cells. Get out.
Screw off.
Don't leave a snail trail. All right. There you go. That's Sammy the Stem Cell.
Wow.
I have a feeling we'll be back. Don't you have that feeling that he's going to be back?
Yeah, I think he will be.
All right, you know, coming up after, yes, here.
Hey, bye.
No, Brian and Everett told me. Could you play that? He told me what's wrong with me.
Mark Barron. This is Brian Caldwell from Everett. I have the Frist Cam, the Lung Cam, the Aqua Lung Cam, and I believe you have pneumonia. There's nothing wrong. You need to get some antibiotics. Go to the doctors, and you just take them until it's done. Then you're done. Then you're off them, and it's no big deal. But some of this technology works. For God's sake, we eradicated smallpox. Go to the doctor and get some antibiotics, and then once you're cured, you're done. They'll give you 2 weeks' worth. You have pneumonia.
No, I don't.
It's pneumonia.
No, it's not.
It's the rocket pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu,
well,
man.
That might be.
And it's catching, you know, because you got it and you got the fever.
No.
More cowbell, baby, and don't fear the reaper. Get some antibiotics. Thank you. Bye.
Don't you love our listeners? Yeah, he's a perfect example of a morning sedition listener, my friend.
I agree, and I, too, do not fear the reaper.
Up there doing the big work. Hey, you know, we've got, in just a few minutes, we've got the new episode of Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm off on some new adventures.
I'm calling my agent on that.
We're going to have Josh Macht. Yeah?
Yeah.
Macht. Josh Macht.
Macht.
From Time Magazine. He is going to go over with us some of Time Magazine's 100 best movies of all time. I've only seen 50 of them.
I got a bone to pick with him.
Yeah, well, you know, if you've got some of those on your mind, what you think your best movies are, 866-303-2270, we'll go up against the list. I got a bone to pick with him, too. How the hell did they pick those movies?
I don't know.
Are those lists good for? You know, how come certain movies weren't on there? That's what I want to know.
Barry Lyndon is on that list.
That's a good movie. It's a good movie, Riley.
Well, I don't know. I just sat through it two or three. Marissa Berenson, you think that was great acting?
No, but it's a great movie.
Ryan O'Neill, Mr. Love Story, dressed up in knickers.
It was shot with lights used by NASA. NASA to in candlelight, no natural. It's all natural.
I know. No, but also
it's a picaresque, Riley. It's a satire. Let's get out of here.
Let's hope so.
We'll be sitting here. We'll wait for you. Okay, Air America Radio.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Damn good.
And now, the Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company players bring you their production of Marc Maron and the Temple of Doom.
In his last adventure, Detective Marc Maron exposed the shadow government. But as punishment, he's been blackballed ever since by all the major clients in town. As we join him now, he's been reduced to taking the lowest detective job in Washington, D.C. Bodyguard for Jeff Gannon.
Okay, Maron. Stay three steps behind me as I walk down the supermarket aisle buying peas. You must learn discipline, slave.
Stop calling me that. You're creeping me out.
Tagging after Jeff Gannon and guarding him from vengeful reporters. I couldn't have felt more humiliated if they'd stuck me on the cover of Star in my underwear. My luck was worse than Bush's choice for UN ambassador. That's when a priest approached me near the lettuce bin.
Excuse me, lad, but are you a private detective of some sort?
Marc Maron, private eye, father.
Ah, brilliant. Well, I know someone who's interested in utilizing your services, but perchance you'd have to be... willing.
Come here, slave, and sniff this melon.
Any job would be fine. I'm ready now.
We'll be in touch.
Another bum lead. I followed Gannon as he made the clerks uncomfortable and then followed him out to the underground parking lot. Suddenly, a man stepped out of the shadows wearing a trench coat. Without saying a word, he pulled a heater. Next thing I knew... Holy cow. Was I dead? I seemed to be floating above the parking lot. I could see my body lying in a pool of blood. Jeff Gannon was picking up some guy in a Range Rover. Then I headed towards a white light. And at the center sat a bright figure on a fiery throne. Could this be... God? And then I heard music. Celestial music.
Wow, that is wild, wild stuff, Marc Maron. So you've been working for Jeff Gannon. I did not know that.
Johnny Carson? You're God?
This is just one of my countless gigs. The earliest one I can remember is Steve Allen. And for a short time in the 70s, I was the lead singer in Santana. I went completely unnoticed. But let's get down to business. Marc, the word on the street is you're available for a job.
That's what the priest was about?
You are good. Marc, I've got a little problem. I need you to find the Antichrist.
Jesus Christ!
Yes?
Oh, sorry, Jesus. I didn't mean you. I meant, holy crap!
Careful with the language, son.
Sorry, God.
Now I'm going to send you back down to Earth. I think you should start with investigating those religious right nuts that have been causing me so much trouble. I'm sick of those brain-dead hillbillies saying they represent me. Now beat it and see what you can come up with.
But what do you need my help? Don't you know everything?
You ask a lot of questions, but I guess that comes with the territory if you're a private dick. I've had a lot on my mind for the last few years. That's probably why I lost track of the Antichrist in the first place. I thought he was in the front yard, but that just turned out to be Buddy Hackett in a sundress roasting marshmallows on Willard Scott. Willard Scott.
Ha! But that line doesn't even make sense.
Willard Scott. The ways of the Lord are mysterious. Or maybe it's just the way I delivered it. Anyway, good luck back on Earth.
Next thing I knew, I jolted awake on an operating table.
Clear! Oh, my God. I'm alive.
You're lucky, son. All three bullets missed every vital organ. There's just one complication. How are you going to pay for all this medical care?
Don't worry. I've got a special client who's going to be taking care of things from now on.
Special client. Yeah, that's funny. Listen, if you can't pay your bill, you're going to have to leave your shoes.
Where will Mark look for the Antichrist? How will he overcome the legions of evil minions who will try to stop him? And why does Jesus talk like that? Find out next week when we hear Jesus say,
"May I help you?"
That's next week on Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom. And tune in later for the Morning Sedition radio theater production of News Daddy. When we last left News Daddy, he had taken a bullet meant for Private Eye Mark Maron. We take you now to New York General Hospital, where doctors are holding an impromptu press conference.
Since News Daddy was admitted just a few short weeks ago, he's received thousands of phone calls, cards, telegrams, emails, X-rated photographs, and pairs of panties.
I love you, News Daddy.
We are happy to report that News Daddy or Mr. Gilman's condition has not gotten any worse. He is stable. But unfortunately, he is still in a coma.
Dr. Mr. Gilman is starting to respond. They need you in critical care.
Meanwhile, in News Daddy's hospital room.
Don't die, News Daddy.
He can't hear you. He's in a coma.
I know that. Mind your own damn business. Doctor, look at the monitor. He's beginning to respond.
Give me 10 cc's of adrenaline sulfate, nurse.
And I'll have a Courvoisier and your phone number, baby. Or should I just call you Nurse Foxy?
It's a miracle. News Daddy, you're...
I'm... Wayne Gilman.
That's coming up later on Morning Tradition Radio Theater.
There you go, 39 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo.
It is Morning Sedition. I got a little trivia question for you. Do any of these sound familiar to you?
Louie, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I want to live again.
Hey, Stella!
It's a hell of a thing killing a man. You take away all he's got, all he's ever got.
Hey, you know, I'm sitting here with the Time Magazine's all-time 100 best films. Finding Nemo makes the list on this list, all right? Finding Nemo makes it. Gone with the Wind doesn't make it. Right now, joining us in the studio is Josh Mock. He's a managing editor of Time.com, and you worked with Richard Corliss and Richard Schickel to whittle this list down, right? Am I right?
That's right.
All right, so...
Well, first, tell him thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I got a little hung up, man. I got a little hung up.
Go ahead, now jack him up.
No, I'm just like, yeah, what do you guys, there's 100 movies on here. I've seen 50. I'm a movie fan. Now,
you've seen 50?
50, only 50.
No, that's good.
It is?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Anybody who's seen more than 12, you know.
50, that's good. That's
but
good.
I'm a movie fan. I would have thought that I would have seen all of them. I mean, there's some movies on here that didn't make the list. I got a couple questions first.
Well, only 55 were even Hollywood films. There are 45 of them are from around the globe. So.
They call me racist?
but
that's the weird thing is that I noticed that I do have an aversion not to foreign films, but I certainly don't go to as many of them.
Right.
Yeah. But the weird thing is that when you make a list like this is primarily to sell the magazine, right?
No. First of all, this list is only on Time.com.
Okay.
And we took some of it for the magazine and then said, you know, go online for the whole thing. So
you can go online and find the reviews to all these films from the original Time magazine.
The whole thing was we had digitized the whole archive back to 1923, so we had all the reviews. So we could say, you know, what Time originally said. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's cool. So were there actual films on there that are the best films that were panned at the time?
Exactly. Yeah. For like Casablanca, they hated it.
Really?
Yeah. They thought it was nothing short of an invasion could help it. They had Bonnie and Clyde they didn't really like much.
Really?
Out of the Pass. So there were a bunch that they had really panned.
Out of the Past. I was so happy that made the list because that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And it's not a movie that makes a lot of lists that I've seen.
It's a classic.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a complex, really a profound noir, that movie.
Now, I have a couple of questions. No films at all from 1968 through 1971. None made the list. No films at all from 1995 to 2001. None.
That's very, you know, it's interesting you isolate the 68 thing. It got tougher, as I could see with the critics, and we'd meet every so often talk about the list. As we became more and more current, it was sort of harder for them to say, okay, where do we want to say this is going to be an all-time classic film? And I was surprised with Finding Nemo. I know a lot of people have written in. They said, you know, wow, you're putting your neck out for that one.
Sure.
You know, and there were these discrete periods, though, where they just felt, for them, they felt like, you know, movie
no
making.
No Midnight
wasn't
Cowboy?
Yeah, but there was a few from the 70s and the late 60s I was surprised about. You know, Midnight Cowboy and some of the Hal Ashby movies, like Being There or Last Detail.
Mm.
And
yeah,
a lot of those movies from the 70s. But obviously, you can't get all of them on. But, I mean, not even Crimes and Misdemeanors or, you know, or no Altman films.
Well, it's funny because we've had so many. Most people just write in and say, where's Gone with the Wind? That's all.
That's it.
That they just, like 90% of the letters in. But, you know, you're talking just 100 films and you're looking around the world. You know, it gets very. There are a lot of great directors who really don't make the cut, and then you know, Scorsese's on there with I think 3 films.
Okay, but now I got one question. Yeah. It's a 2-word question.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Lyndon,
great movie. I disagree with him.
It was a cover of Time Magazine, Barry Lyndon. Not many of these
Maritza
were
covers. Maritza Berenson defined Wooden in that movie. I'm sorry. If she's listening, I'm terribly sorry. But Maritza Berenson in that movie did nothing.
Oh, no. You can do better than that.
I disagree with Mark on that one because I think Barry Lyndon, I went and saw the new print of it, and I didn't realize it was such a great movie, the way they just keep chipping away at him. It's sort of it's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
That it's one of those movies that I had to see twice to even understand. Prithvi's Honor is another movie. Like, I didn't understand Prithvi's Honor was a comedy until I saw it twice. You don't have any of his movies on here either, do you?
No.
Was that Houston? It was, right?
Yeah.
It was one of his later films. Now, what's the criterion for judging this stuff? I know you got a couple of film critics, but what does that mean?
Well, that's just what it means. You know, I mean, you bring any critics in, though, and there have been a lot of other lists. There's the AFI list. There's a number of them. But, you know, our critics had been writing for Time for probably, you know, 25 years or more. So they had actually covered a lot of these films. And they had distinct sensibilities. They fought with each other over this. The Fly. The Fly.
Okay.
That was a battle between the critics, you know, because they just one Schickel really wanted it, Corliss didn't. So it wasn't, you know, it was a meeting of the minds. They could have probably done their own list.
What were the defenses though? Like if you were sitting there, yeah, can we call them up? Can you get them on the phone right now?
Wake them up. They're not up yet. Wake them up.
What was the sort of like? No, I'm not going to put this on because, and it needs to be on because.
Well, there was horse trading. You know, there was this sort of, well, you know,
politics.
There you go. So it always comes, so, you know, where's that Sammy the STEM subject?
What's he like?
He's like, well, it's a SpongeBob movie.
Yeah.
No, there's just, you know, they would battle it out, and one would say, you know, this is really, derivative of something, and it's The Fly was the one that really popped up for me, because they got so passionate about it. And in fact, online we have them sort of talking about how they picked the list and sort of.
And it's worthittime.com?
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, it's interesting is going to see is that, you know, you're prophesizing something here in the way that you, these newer films like Finding Nemo, Lord of the Rings, Kandahar, City of God, which I thought was a masterpiece, is whether or not they're going to stand the test of time. To put an animated one like Finding Nemo and not to have Fantasia on there is kind of questionable. But we want to take some calls for you, 866-303-2270, to maybe judge if you got any questions about who's on the list, who isn't on the list, what you think should be on the list, or you just want to share some stuff about movies. We've also got the ticket giveaway coming up here.
Oh, yeah.
The first 5 people to call from the New York area get to get a pair of tickets to see Joe Pantoliano's new movie, Second Best, tomorrow night at the Angelica in Manhattan. He's going to be on the show tomorrow, hence the promotion. So that's another incentive. 866-303-2270. We'll be here waiting for you.
Right now, call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866
866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Damn good.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Mother. My mother. What a surprise. She isn't quite herself today.
Help me, Clarence, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
51 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yep.
You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. We're talking to Josh Macht from Time.com. We're talking about Time.com's 100 best films. Very interesting. You can go to Time.com and actually link to some of the reviews of these classic films, some of which were poorly reviewed. Casablanca, poorly reviewed. Out of the Past, great Robert Mitchum movie. I was told by Josh, poorly removed, reviewed. And that's pretty surprising. Also, we're also very surprised at some of the stuff that did make the list. And Riley, you asked a good question about the Godfather.
Yeah, how come it's lumped together? I mean, it actually took the first and second ones and made it one movie in terms of rating it.
Yeah, exactly. We let them get away with that. You know, you could look at it and say there's 101, or you could look at Apu trilogy as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think both of them, it just was tough for them to make the call.
How about the Decalogue, and how about Berlin Alexanderplatz? There's like 20 movies.
The Decalogue is
but they're an hour long. Long, right, they deal with the Ten Commandments, right?
It was a Polish television show, so
and so was Berlin Alexanderplatz.
Right,
was Fassbender's television show. Like I would have picked a different Fassbender movie, but now we're getting now we quibble.
pick.
Let's talk to Larry in New Jersey. How are you, Larry? Listening to LIB, I assume you won a couple of tickets.
Hey, Larry,
how's it going, guys?
Hey, all right,
Larry, I got to warn you about that Joe Pantoliano movie. It's heavy stuff. How old are you, man?
I'm 30.
You're old enough.
It's shot on video, that movie, Second Best, and it's all about being bitter and feeling like a loser. You up for it?
I can see myself in his 20 years.
So you got a question for Josh?
Yeah, I'm curious if I doubt it, but I'm wondering if Rocky Horror had actually made your list. If only for the cultural impact.
Oh, somebody spent a lot of midnights on weekends dressing up, huh?
Rocky Horror? No.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks, Larry.
You know, that should have been on the Guilty Pleasures list somewhere.
Are you doing a Guilty Pleasures list? That's a good idea.
Well, Schickel did his. We're hoping at some point Corliss will weigh in with his. And it's something about Mary sort of tops that list for him. Joe the Volcano is on his Guilty Pleasures.
Wow.
Joe the Volcano. I'm like, Tom Hanks, you know.
That's why critics don't do Guilty Pleasure lists, because people are going to be like, oh, see, I knew he was. Well, no, I just like, you know, why is Corliss not doing one? Because he's ashamed, right?
Well, Turner and Hooch, there's a lot of other. There's a lot of other Tom Hanks films.
Right.
Other than Joe the Volcano.
A lot of other films, period. Joe the Volcano. Turner and Hooch.
I would have thought something like Desperate Living or Female Trouble. That's my guilty pleasure.
No, Three Amigos. Three Amigos is the guilty. It's the all-time guilty pleasure.
That's a guilty pleasure.
How about The Original In-Laws?
Guilty pleasure?
Richard, which
is not a bad film.
Okay. How about Freebie and the Beam with James Caan and Alan Arkin?
You're just talking about, like, really. Because, I mean, I had a date walk out in the middle of Pink Flamingos.
That might have been guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure for me, I think. Guilty pleasure for me, I think, would be I think that on some level is Gladiator a guilty pleasure? I mean, I like the movie. I can't say it was a great movie, but I like watching it.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Well, those are the tough calls that don't make the all-time 100, but, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk to David. David, what's on your mind?
Hey, David.
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering the age of the guys who critique the films, because, you know, just wondering, you know, what their frame of mind was, where they're coming from.
Schickel and Corliss?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't require, you know, that they divulge their age, you know, or thumbprint them or anything. But I'm guessing they're in their 50s.
Right. But this list, it's in chronological order. It doesn't go, you know, number 1 through 100,
no.
Which I thought that was a good call. Was there other choices? Did they want to do it that way?
No, I think, you know, that's something usually that the editor says, hey, you know, let's rank them. Let's have a number one. And the critic's like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, but you don't have to do what MTV does. It's not about, you know, 3 days of programming, counting down to number one.
Right.
Isn't that ridiculous? Like, we always disappointed. So, okay, what is it going to be? It's going to be the Zeppelin, the Beatles, or who?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I like that you didn't do that. I can't believe there's 50 on here I didn't see. There's some on here, Josh, that you wanted on that didn't get on?
There were discussions. It wasn't as if they just completely went off. We did sort of make some suggestions. I was happy to see Goodfellas on there.
That's a great movie. I just watched that last week.
Yeah.
I try to watch that about twice a year.
It's a fantastic movie. Although Miller's Crossing, I mean,
is that choice with the Coen brothers? You couldn't think of a better Coen brothers one?
Well, it wasn't my personal favorite, but they, you know.
Fargo or Barton Fink for me.
Yeah, they weren't into Fargo. Our critics, well, at least Corliss wasn't that into it.
It took me, I had to watch that 3 times before I really locked in completely. But I like Barton Fink a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a weird movie.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Coen Brothers movie?
I think Fargo.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing film.
One quick question. You know, on the one hand, with the older films, you have reviewers that didn't like them. But I guess with the newer stuff, the two people that actually put the list together did like everything?
Well, no, not always. It was sort of interesting to see. With Blade Runner, for instance, Corliss writes about it, and he said, you know, audiences would be disappointed, obviously, if it got its audience.
Yeah. Well, Josh Mock, thank you very much. Go to time.com and check this out. You can check reviews of all these movies going back to 1923, did you say?
Yeah.
That's right.
We got Senator Russell Feinberg coming up.
Feingold.
I'm sorry, Feinberg. You know, I'm a Jew. He's a Jew. Russell Feingold is coming up to talk about the Democrats and the deal. And also Johnny K Street, so stay with us. Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hiya.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, and, of course, you lurking conservatives. On the phone with us is Senator Russell Feingold from Wisconsin. And before we engage in a conversation with him, I want to read what he had to say. He released a statement in relationship to the deal that was struck by the seven Republicans and seven Democrats, now being called the Gang of 14, around the filibuster and the nuclear option. This is Senator Feingold's words. This is not a good deal for the U.S. Senate or for the American people. Democrats should have stood together firmly against the bullying tactics of the Republican leadership, abusing their power as they control both houses of Congress and the White House. Confirming unacceptable judicial nominations is simply a green light for the Bush administration to send more nominees who lack the judicial temperament or record to serve in these lifetime positions. I value the many traditions of the Senate, including the tradition of bipartisanship to forge consensus. I do not, however, value threatening to disregard an important Senate tradition, like occasional unlimited debate when necessary. I respect all my colleagues very much who thought to end this playground squabble over judges, but I am disappointed in this deal. Beautiful words. Good morning, Senator Russ Feingold. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning, Senator.
So it's been 2 days, and now Priscilla Owen confirmed today, Bolton likely confirmed, the other two judges confirmed. I mean, what kind of deal is this?
Not a very good one, I'm sad to say. I tell you, I think the reality of what had happened kind of set in when we had to go there at noon yesterday and people voted on this Owen nomination, realizing that we had defeated her fair and square because she doesn't belong in the Fifth Circuit. And then realizing that somehow we're talking ourselves into thinking it's okay for them to hold us up, to put a gun to our head, basically, and try to destroy the rules of the Senate, and somehow we have to claim victory when these three judges get through. I wanted to be for this agreement. I really respect the senators that tried to avoid the nuclear option. But I got to tell you, when I looked at it, it just stuck in my craw, the idea that these judges, who clearly should not have been put on the bench, somehow got through only because of an illegitimate threat. And I think it's a real threat to the independence of our judiciary in this country. So I regret this. I know these people were really acting in good faith, especially the seven Republicans who had the guts to buck their party on this. But that doesn't make it a good deal in the end. I think it's a bad deal.
Now, my question is that there's this idea that there is a center, and that that these Democrats feel that they, this isn't really a bipartisan deal here. It doesn't seem like we gained anything. What were the alternatives? What should have been done in your eyes?
Well, I hate to second guess the leadership, and I really think they probably knew more than I did about exactly where the votes were. I know why they did this. They were afraid that they couldn't win the vote on the nuclear option, that they would get the 51 votes. I'm not sure about that. I think in the end, a couple of those other Republicans may not have been willing to do this to the Senate. But, that's understandable. They'd worry about that. But, sometimes you just have to put something up for a vote and take that kind of a risk, because otherwise they can just do this act of intimidation over and over again. And it was really something to watch not only Bill Frist, who you would expect to say this, but even some of the senators who were on the Republican side in the group of 14 saying, hey, we can use this nuclear option when we need to. And what it comes down to for me is I'm a senator from Wisconsin. Our hero is Robert M. La Follette, who was one of the great filibusters in the history of the Senate.
Battling Bob La Follette?
Like fighting Bob La Follette.
Fighting Bob La Follette, yeah.
So the idea, if Bob La Follette was ever told that a committee was going to tell him whether or not his filibuster was legitimate, he would have exploded. It's the right of a senator. It has always been the right of the senator to get out there and speak. And the idea that some group's going to say, well, this one's on this side of the line, this one's on that side of the line, nonsense. That's not the U.S. Senate. Frankly, I resent it. It's outrageous. And these are ill-gotten gains by the radical right in this country by putting these judges on there. So I think we have to call it that way. And I think it's important that we don't. The risk here is because it's a compromise in people's eyes. People talk of being in the center. It kind of tends to get away from the real point, which is that it's the radical right that was pushing all this. And they are extreme, and they're willing to abuse their power and destroy the independence of our federal judiciary. So that's really what's going on here, rather than, as somebody said, kumbaya in the Senate. That's not what's going on.
Senator, in I guess D.C. media political calculus, if it makes the left angry and the right angry, it's supposed to be a good deal, no?
That is not the case. In fact, that's a very important thing that you guys are bringing out. Just because something is slicing it in the middle or in the center, that doesn't mean it's right. Sometimes the best idea is a conservative idea. Sometimes the best idea is a liberal idea. Sometimes the best idea is a moderate idea. The idea that it's always best just to slice it up in the middle and then say, gee, we're getting along, that isn't good public policy. As far as I'm concerned, that's wimpiness. And I don't believe in that. I'm a progressive. But when John McCain was a conservative and I agreed that soft money was destroying our political system, we came together on the best idea. It wasn't that we took something that was a centrist idea. So I don't accept this idea that, sort of making everything Tweedledee and Tweedledum is the best thing for our country. And I will continue to fight those things that I think are simply in the middle. For example, on the issue of civil liberties, on USA Patriot Act, sort of the attitude was, well, you got to give up some of these liberties. And you don't have to do that. What you can do is do things right and convince people that it's the right way, regardless of whether it's liberal or conservative. And I think this is dangerous. And, yes, the Washington press loves to see people come together and be the centrist in the middle who end up deciding things all the time because they have the controlling votes. But the reality is it doesn't necessarily lead to what's best for our country, and that's what we have to fight for.
Our guest is Wisconsin Senator Russell Feingold. Senator, these centrists, the 14 that came together to do this deal, are now looking at the possibility of acting in concert on Social Security. What chance do they have?
Well, it all depends what they're trying to do. If they're going to be responsible and get privatization off the table, which it has to be for it to be responsible, and they want to really sit down and try to repeat what was done in the early 1980s, where moderates from both parties and leaders from both parties got together and made some changes in the system, then it's a good thing. If it becomes a Trojan horse to allow Bush to somehow get his privatization going, then they would be doing something very bad. So I wish them well, and I happen to have extremely close friendships, especially with some of the Republicans in that group. But I think we have to be careful about what exactly they're advancing.
All right, Senator Feingold, the question I want to ask now, is this in any way a power grab on behalf of these 14 senators to sort of become the dominant power within the Senate? Is McCain sort of taking Frist's job? Is this, how do you see that?
I don't take it that way. I'm very close to John McCain and Susan Collins and Lindsey Graham. These are three Republicans I really respect, and I think they were doing it for the right reason. Look, that was a tough thing for those guys to do. They were preventing the Republicans, you got to give them credit for this, from being able to actually exercise this nuclear option. So their motives, in my view, were good. I don't think they're trying to run the Senate in any way that is bad. I mean, I think, in fact, what they're trying to do is soften the radical right in their own party. And so, we have to review what they're trying to do
with
merits. Sometimes I'll agree with them, sometimes I won't, but I'd much rather have them in a sort of a fulcrum position or an important position than Bill Frist and Rick Santorum.
Absolutely.
Give me those guys anytime.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is that now those guys, the radical right, are really showing themselves to be the sort of screaming babies that they are, in that, you know, their reaction to this is they're just going to eat their own. I mean, I cannot believe the flack that those guys are giving their own. It's unbelievable.
Well, part of the problem is it's also very clever on their part. By crying foul, even though they got their way, even though they got these radical young judges for the next 50 years, they act like it's a bad thing so they can get more. And they just keep grabbing for more and more and more, and people start thinking, well, you know, they didn't get their way, so maybe they should get their way next time. And you know what next time might be? The United States Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. You know, Senator, there's one political action committee that is specifically targeting several of your colleagues on the Democratic side, Ben Nelson and Robert Byrd, both of whom are up for re-election next year. Are they just blowing smoke, or can they really unseat Ben Nelson, for example, who only got 51% of the vote in his last election?
Well, I don't think they can beat Ben Nelson. I think he's well-liked, and, he certainly is a moderate. He couldn't, sometimes it's frustrating for me that some of his votes where we don't get his vote, but he certainly is not somebody that you can characterize as an extreme left-winger in Nebraska. And, you know, the fact is, to beat a Byrd or to beat a Nelson, you got to have a candidate. And, you know, at this point already, they still have, the leading candidates haven't been running against them. So, I predict both of them will win, and let them spend their money on these guys. I think they'll survive.
And I think also, Senator, it's important to realize also that, you know, this radical right and even the what they claim to be the majority is really a minority in this company and in this country. And I think that the policies that this administration gets behind and pushes through are going to hurt people in the long run. It's only a matter of time before people wake up.
Question. This stem cell thing really shows it.
Oh, yeah.
The stem cell issue shows how extreme, along with the Terry Schiavo stuff,
and this
judge's move.
Yeah.
These people are out on the fringe. These people have power because of a combination of events, the Iraq war and other things in the last two elections. And instead of sort of using it wisely to preserve their power, they're abusing their power. And I think it's becoming apparent to the American people that this kind of control by one party, not just by one party, but by the right wing of that party, is something very bad for America.
And dangerous. Thank you very much, Senator Russ Feingold. Really appreciate
great
you being
here.
Great
to be on the show. Keep going.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Senator.
Wow, that was great to talk to him.
A progressive
Democratic senator. That one with he actually had the courage to come on and hang out with us a little while.
Cool.
I'm very excited about that. And we will continue the conversation with Johnny K Street, of all people, coming up next, 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Terry Jones from Monty Python, and you're listening to Mark Maron and Mark Reilly on Morning Sedition. They're not the Messiah. They're very naughty boys on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Reilly.
Hey!
Morning Sedition on Air America. Hey, congratulations to Larry, Terry, Carrie, Stephen, and Tony. They won tickets to see Joe Pantoliano's new film, Second Best. Joe will be with us tomorrow on the show, and there will be more tickets to give away, so tune in for that. Also,
yeah.
You can come see and actually watch the process of Morning's Edition and touch Mark Riley.
Hey, I have natural hair. I ain't got no process.
I didn't see. All right. Come see us in person. We'll be broadcasting live next Friday, June 3rd, from City Bakery in New York City on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues from 6 to 9. Come by, have some coffee. You can wake up and watch me and Mark do our thing here. Maybe we have some giveaways for you. Not a cat, though. I'm keeping the cats because Fran told me to.
Somebody guilted you.
That's right. I was going to keep two of them. Now I'm going to keep three. And oddly, the one I was going to give away got on the bed last night for the first time and just sat there and wondered why she was on the bed and looked at me funny.
Uh-oh.
So there's a lot of big stories in the news this week, so it's time to get some bets down with our Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street. Johnny, where's the action, man?
It follows me, baby.
All right.
It's all about stem cells this week.
Uh-huh.
I try to avoid the word cell, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I got stem cell action this week that would have made Christopher Reeve jump out of his chair.
Oh, Lord. I got five large right here that's burning a hole in my pocket, and I don't want to ruin these pants, Johnny.
That's what I like to hear. When it comes to stem cell action, a solid bet is Bush will go to the mattresses on this one. 8-5, he uses a veto. I use a veto, too, but only when someone is falling behind in their pants. You'll be meeting him soon, Mark, and I'm set.
Whoa. I'm good for it, Johnny. I need to make some real money. What do we got now? What's the long shot?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
1,001 before the end of the year, Tom DeLay gets a disease that can only be treated with stem cells.
Yes.
He holds a press conference and announces God has told him it's all right to use stem cells, but just this one.
Oh, yeah.
DeLay says, as a matter of fact, God told me I could sacrifice a 2-year-old if it's going to save my life, but just this one time. This is a very good bet. The catch is he has to get a stem cell treatable disease.
Okay.
If you get hit by a truck or something, you're screwed.
Put me down for a C note, all right? I'm going to take that action. How about John Bolton? You got any Bolton action this week?
The money on Bolton is in the side bets.
Mm-hmm.
5-1, he starts his first meeting at the UN by shooting a pistol into the ceiling and yelling, "Listen up, losers, there's a new sheriff in town." That's practically a lock. Get your money down on this one, Mark, and you can take your wife to Cartier and tell him Johnny sent you.
All right, dude. All right, put me down for a grand, man.
Put me down for 2 large.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah.
Got a long range bet for you.
Uh-huh.
James Dobson sodomized to death 2-1. That's a better investment than Microsoft. It's not if, it's just when. Take my word for it.
Hey, Johnny, do you have any Michael Jackson action?
Michael Jackson. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. The defense is rested, but I'm going to be taking action right up until they call the verdict. Don't stop till you get enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to be making more money off Michael Jackson than all the parents that have shook him down combined, including his own.
Johnny, what's the Michael Jackson line?
Keep this a secret and I'll buy you an Xbox. I'm kidding. It worked every time. Michael Jackson is my trifecta. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. He wins the case, moves to South Korea, buys a stem cell company, clones his own Little League team, and lives happily ever after. That's Neverland, baby. That's 5,001. You hit that, and I'll throw in a llama for free.
Uh-oh.
All right, man.
Uh-oh.
Good to see you, Johnny.
Thanks
for coming
down.
I got to go to court.
Good luck, man. Good luck in court.
You know, I meant to ask him if he made any money off the Preakness the other day.
Oh, it's too late.
He's gone.
What are you going to do? You know, when we come back, I'll tell you, we're not going anywhere. I'm going to get used to that. I'm going to get used to that saying when we come back, because we just sit here and we don't want to give the impression that we're going anywhere. But James Dobson, founder and president of Focus on Family, all right, he called us out, Riley. This is the guy that has written books. He's one of the he's one of the Crystal Fascist Zombie Brigade leaders. This is a guy who has said things like this in one of his books. My observation is that women are merely waiting for their husbands to assume leadership. That's from that's from his book, Straight Talk.
Got that, honey?
Yeah. This is the same guy that said this about raising children. Pain is a marvelous purifier. It is not necessary to beat the child into submission. A little bit of pain goes a long way for a young child. However, the spanking should be of sufficient magnitude to cause the child to cry genuinely. That's from a Dare to Discipline. All right. So this guy actually said something about us, Riley.
Well, yeah, I know he did. And you know that pain is a marvelous purifier thing he just said? I bet you got that from one of those bondage websites.
Can we hear it? Oh, God.
Whoa!
Sorry. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I need to go to the doctor.
Liquid smoke, baby.
Can we hear that one, what he said about us, Chris?
Air America just made comments about me saying that they wish I would die, and even my son, and that they were praying that we would die.
Wow. You know, that wasn't true, my friend. It wasn't true, Riley, until today.
Well, actually, and yeah, and we're going to do sacrifices. We're not praying.
No, we he provoked us. I'm not a religious guy. I'm a spiritual guy.
You're a spiritual guy.
But we're going to say a prayer for Dobson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
so stay with us. Yeah, we're definitely going to do it, man.
We're coming up with that and a whole lot more next on Air America Radio.
Edition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maroney with Mark Riley.
Yes.
Sir America Radio's Morning Sedition program. If you want to come see us in person, we'll be broadcasting live next Friday, June 3rd, from City Bakery in New York City on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues from 6 to 9 a.m. Come on down. You can watch us do this. How would that be for you?
That's right, but don't try to touch me, all right?
All right, I'm going to take that back. And I'm not giving away a cat because I got a phone call after I said I might give away a cat from a woman who supported me through a difficult cat period. I've never met her before, but she was a listener, and she helped me trap my cats and actually adjust to them, and she has told me cats are not objects. They're just getting used to you. They trust you. Keep the cat if you can because it likes you. And now I'm feeding the one outside. I don't know why I'm hung up on cats all of a sudden again. We're talking about James Dobson, about the founder and president of Focus on Family, one of the larger Christo fascist zombie brigades. It looks like we got a call from someone named Bobby who's got something to say about that. Bobby, what's on your mind about these extreme Christians there?
Well, this is actually not just a comment about extreme Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Something that many people are fond of saying is how the Bush administration says they represent Christian values, but they really don't.
Yes.
And I understand the sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
But in one very unfortunate way, I think they do.
How so?
Which is, and this isn't a right-wing, left-wing thing. It's about religion in general.
Okay.
Which is, and it's a generalization. It doesn't apply to all religions, but I would say most.
Feel free to generalize.
It's about being in the in club. If you don't believe what I believe, you go to hell.
Right.
And it's something that it's obviously not limited to Christianity. I mean, look at, you know, the terrorists. That's essentially what they're about. But it's true, you know, Catholicism and Christianity, if you really believe it, and this is the way the Bush administration operates, of course.
Sure.
You're either with us or against us.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's like, it's the same thing, you know, in terms of how extremism works in any faction. And this is the way they consolidate powers, by exploiting people's fears, by exploiting their belief systems, and trying to build their numbers and frighten people who aren't involved to either censor themselves or get on board.
You know, I disagree with him that is a fundamental tenet of Christianity. I think too many Christians have twisted the religion to make people believe that even if they don't say it, that there is an inference that Christianity is better than Buddhism or better than whatever.
I believe, you know, on some level it is a fundamental tenet of organized religion. I believe that tolerance is a human possibility, and that when it's paid lip service in religion, a lot of times I don't really believe it wholeheartedly, because I believe there's something about believing that your God is the only God. You know, if you believe that deeply, that on some level you are saying that, you know, I'll tolerate the other gods, but they're wrong.
No, look, I've heard from God on this.
You have?
Yes.
Okay, what'd he say?
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Everything's groovy?
It's all right.
Just as long as you engage, it's the belief that's important.
It's the faith. And, you know, don't sweat the other people. They've got theirs. You've got yours. There's plenty of me for everyone.
Okay, that's a Riley's interpretation that's coming directly from God. But
yes.
Speaking of people that we're going to pray for, James Dobson, the founder and president of Focus on Family, who is heinously narrow-minded and one of the great leaders of the Crystal Fascist Zombie Brigade, said this about Air America.
Air America just made comments about me, saying that they wish I would die, and even my son and that they were praying that we would die.
This is the guy that said homosexuals are not monogamous. They want to destroy the institution of marriage. It will destroy marriage. It will destroy the earth. This is the man who says he thinks that children should be beaten in order to be disciplined. This is a guy that he's heinous. He's not even a minister. You know, he's a doctor. And you know what? We hadn't prayed for his son's death and his death. And you know what? We're going to pray now. Dear Lord, dear Lord, I know you don't really exist and all, but if James Dobson believes that strongly in you, I want to cover my bases. Hey, he brought it up. Praying for his death, that is, so why not? Here it goes. Will you take James Dobson up to heaven so that he can sit in your right hand and annoy you for eternity? I know I've asked you before, but never publicly. Like when Dobson compared recent steps towards gay marriage to Pearl Harbor, I prayed that a squadron of Japanese kamikazes would fire large-caliber, battery-operated marillades into his nether regions. Just in case he started to enjoy it, that the batteries would start to leak until his insides melted and ran down his little chicken legs. Or when he threatened stadiums full of followers that not voting for Bush would be a sin, I prayed that the Reverend Moon would suddenly pop up and mass marry Dobson to all of the male attendees, including master sodomite Dr. W. David Hager, and that they would then consummate their marriages to Dobson right there on the 50-yard line with inadequate lubrication, causing a friction fire that would consume him. You could always still do it that way. I'd even lure him to the stadium with the promise of introducing Toby Keith to his bloodthirsty followers.
Okay.
And while you're at it, Lord, Dobson also claimed we'd prayed for the death of his son Ryan, so I'd be remiss to leave the younger Dobson here on this earth mourning the mega-spectacular three-camera shoot Jumbotron public airing of his father's sodomy-related death. So please, take Ryan, that boys-to-men haircutted white evangelical rapper son of his, as well. How? It's up to you, Lord. But you know what would be nice? Now, this is just a fantasy, of course, but it would be neat if you could reform NWA, including Eazy-E, and have Ryan Dobson open up for them at the Vibe Hip Hop Awards. And if you could, while Dobson is on stage, could you have Suge Knight try to sit in G-Unit seat? I think things would play out from there. In a positive way, Ryan Death-type situation. But really, any way you decide to take these two mewling, proselytizing hate mongers off the earth is fine with me. Just make it hurt. And God bless Grandma, too. I think that's about it. Amen. Okay, how do you like that?
Oh, huh? Lord.
How do you like that? Are we in trouble? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Now we'll see what he has to say,
yeah,
if he says anything. You know, these guys. Well, there's a couple stories we didn't talk about that I'd like to talk about. I thought this was kind of a fascinating story, Riley, that a lot of people that do, apparently this is in Los Angeles, a lot of people that sell counterfeit bags, Gucci bags, Prada bags, Louis Vuitton bags, counterfeit merchandise, pirated DVDs, apparently some of them are actually, you know, funding what are called terrorist organizations.
Specifically Hezbollah. And not just counterfeit bag makers, but cigarette bootleggers and a bunch of other people, apparently, in Southern California who have gotten arrested and their places of business and their homes searched. They have found that several of them were, in fact, I guess, kicking off some of this money to Hezbollah.
Well, it's interesting. You don't know where black market money actually goes. We had a guest that dealt with that, Loretta Napoleoni, who talked to us about, you know, there are just so many billions of dollars in the black market altogether. And just in terms of, like, I know people that buy counterfeit bags. I know people that buy the fake Louis Vuitton belts. I mean, it's very hard to know where the hell your money goes sometimes. That's why you have websites like Choose the Blue to find out who donates what to what political party. But when it comes to black market stuff, you know, you just assume if you're buying drugs, the money's not going to a good place.
No, you would kind of assume that. Now, recently, customs officials stopped a woman at LAX,
mm-hmm.
found she was carrying more than $230,000 in cash. She was on her way to Lebanon, which means I assume you have to report that kind of money. They later found out that she owned a chain of cigarette shops, seized more than 1,000 cartons of bootleg cigarettes, and an additional $70,000 in cash, and the customs people are saying this dough was supposed to be going to Hezbollah.
Yeah, that's it. That's wild, because I just don't. It's so impossible. You know, when you just look at how corporations are just set up, not let alone the black market, and who the hell knows how that money is distributed. But I mean, just looking at, you know, which corporations make what in certain food additives. So, like, we had that woman on who qualified and validated that, you know, that Osama bin Laden had owned a gum arabic factory, partially. Whether he owns it now, that's not the question. But who the hell knows where this money goes? It's fascinating to me.
Well, see, what these folks have done, and this is not new. I mean, the Medellin cocaine cartel in Colombia did the same thing. They modeled their illicit businesses on corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
So that what they've done is set up all these situations. The same woman that got busted at LAX, they go to her house, they find wire transfers all over the world, just like corporations transfer money from one place to another. Yeah, that's what these folks do.
Mm-hmm.
And they are using the same deregulated processes. They're using the same, in some cases, unregulated processes. Why? Because corporate America doesn't want the government finding out where a lot of their money's going. So the terrorists are able to slip through the cracks here.
Oh, and you've got to figure that, you know, this, like we've heard from some of our guests, that this money is a huge part of the global economy. Billions and billions of dollars. It's like in Afghanistan right now with the poppy situation. You know, Hamid Karzai said he's going to try and stop the poppies, and they're never going to stop the poppies because, you know, I mean, you know that land is, you know, owned by these warlords that do this heroin farming. What are they going to do? Tell them to grow corn? And, you know, there's plenty of kickbacks from all that money. That money is going into the hands of a lot of different people. It's not just going to terrorists. It's going into the global economy through, I don't even want to make accusations, but everyone's getting a taste.
Of course. And see, the thing about Hezbollah is that they are seen in some quarters of the Middle East as a social service organization. I personally don't see them that way. I think they're a little bit more sinister than that. But they do provide some services. And according to U.S. intelligence estimates, $20 to $30 million a year from criminal fundraising activities in the U.S. goes directly to Hezbollah.
Mm.
That's incredible.
It's pretty amazing. Like, yeah, tomorrow, to switch topics, I want to, you know, say that we're going to have Joe Pantoliano is on, and we're going to give away some tickets to his new movie, Second Best.
Yeah.
You know Joe Pantoliano from Midnight Run, from The Sopranos most recently.
We know the killer pimp and Risky Business.
And I'm looking forward to talking to him. As I said before, you can see Mark and I next Friday, June 3rd, at City Bakery in New York City on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues from 6 to 9 p.m. if you want to come hang out with us, have some coffee, eat some croissants and whatnot. We might have some free stuff with you. And I believe we're going to come back and we're going to talk to a stem cell. Is that possible?
Oh, no.
Yes, it's going to happen because we got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
45 past the hour.
Y'all ready for this?
Hi, this is Charles Barkley, and you're listening to Marc Maron and Mark Riley. Anything less would be uncivilized. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
The hour. Let's land this thing. So what a day. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes, I am.
I just can't. You know, it just blows me away. It never ceases to blow me away that, you know, we are falling. It's not even a matter of falling behind. That religious fanatics are dictating the pace of progress, trying to dictate it through legislation. Embryonic stem cells are not people. They are not. They are just wads of cells. Many of them, as we've talked about before, are you know, thrown away,
discarded, put in the garbage.
And you know, the idea that this administration is going to hold out and possibly veto this bill in embryonic stem cell research, it's pandering to religious fanatics who want every baby to be born, no matter what, and they'd make new ones if they could to produce more lost souls, to produce people that, you know, are maybe unwanted, because that's what they feed on. They feed on people's victimness, or they feed on people's being lost, or their fear. And then on the other side of that, you've got George Bush, who's pandering to pharmaceutical companies who certainly don't want anything to be treated. Embryonic stem cell research could lead to treatments in Alzheimer's, could lead to treatments in diabetes and spinal cord injuries. That's billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, it would be billions of dollars, and Americans would be healthier and healthier, and you know, the cynics among us think that there are people who don't have a particular interest in that either. You know, when you have a guy like Dobson saying pain is a great purifier, you might not think that he actually wants everyone to live for a long, healthy period of time.
Yeah, and you're going to have to go to Korea, because South Korea, the government there is actually paying for this embryonic stem cell cloning. It's just amazing that we have people like Tom DeLay dictating or even saying, you know, what he said. Can we hear that?
Proponents of the Castle Bill try as they might to find wiggle room. We'll vote to fund with taxpayer dollars the dismemberment of living, distinct human beings for the purposes of medical experimentation.
To help us sort some of this controversy surrounding stem cell research and the vote in on Congress, we have a special guest. All right, this is heavy stuff. Please welcome Sammy the Semstel. Sammy, welcome. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Now, what is the controversy here? Aren't stem cells just blobs of unintelligent protoplasm?
Back off, loser. I'm a unique, living, integrated human person. I'm a tough mofo, so get used to it, you dirty Jew.
Hey, wait, whoa. You're not human. You're just a wad of cells. Did you just call me a dirty Jew?
Yeah, I did.
What is that about?
Now, let me ask you a question. Can a blob of unintelligent protoplasm do this?
What is that?
I'm flipping you the bird, man. I'm flipping you off.
Sam, you don't even have a hand.
Shut up. I'm a unique, living, integrated human person.
No, you're not. You're just a blob of cells that can't grow any kind of human tissue.
And I can grow into a nice new pancreas or a second face on the back of your head. So take your pick, funny boy.
That's right. Yeah, you can grow into anything. Okay, so look, I see that you're so full of self-hate that you've got such an identity crisis. You can't even see how remarkable it is that a mere stem cell can produce new cells in any part of the body and even grow new organs.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Uh-huh.
A second penis, right?
No.
What's the matter with the old one, Slick? Little tip for you. I am not a therapist. You might want to jot that one down for future reference.
Right, wait, look, so you don't have any observations, opinions, any commentary at all about the stem cell debate?
Yeah. People are the problem. I hope I don't become one. Sometimes I wish I were just a cancer cell so I could wipe everybody out. Is that wrong? Is that a bad thing?
You're disgusting.
Yeah, and you're welcome. Hey, here's something else you could use me for. To grow a new ass.
Hey. It's you, man.
Hey, right back at you.
You're an
And the horse you rode in on.
Thanks a lot. You're not.
Screw you, fella.
You're not fooling anything. You know, I want this guy to die. What is that?
Yeah, I want you to die, too.
Hey,
yeah. It's mutual, sucker.
Can you help my pneumonia? Some guy says I got pneumonia. I got a little bronchial thing.
It ain't pneumonia. I got to do something worse.
Oh, man. Get out of here.
I'm a unique, integrated human being.
No, you're not. You're a wad of cells. Get out.
Screw off.
Don't leave a snail trail. Yeah, I hope he comes back again real soon.
One thing's for sure. When we go, ladies and gentlemen, we will not be looking at you from above, if you know what I mean.
I was getting scared.
That's right. I'm getting scared to death.
Tomorrow, we got a great show tomorrow. We got Morgan Spurlock, the guy who made the film Super Size Me. He's got a new book coming out. We've got James Howard Kunstler. On the end of oil in his new book. That guy's a heavy cat. Cultural critic. We've talked to him before. I'm looking forward to talking to him again. And of course, we've got actor Joe Pantoliano. He's going to be here talking about, I guess, mostly his new movie, but we're going to ask him some other stuff too. His new film, Second Best. I watched about half of last night. And let me tell you something. It's heavy. It's about a middle-aged guy who sees himself as a loser. He's bitter. And he basically, they go into some inner dialogues and some of the way that guys talk. It's pretty hairy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but it's good. I guess it touched me a little too much in a way, because I sometimes get a little bitter. So anyways, for those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we already talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning's Edition Cliff Notes. South Korea is providing extra... why can't I talk? I've been talking for 3 hours. That's why. South Korea is providing extra funding to scientist Hwang Woo-suk for stem cell research. Experts say someday we'll go to the doctor and say, I don't care what it costs. Give me the Woo-suk. His work has led many to call Hwang Woo-suk a genius. So to generations of clones, he will be known as the God we killed for. Runaway bride Jennifer Wilbanks is indicted. Wilbanks could spend 6 years in prison, which most observers say is still preferable to marriage. To marriage, yeah. Sorry, that one deserved that. Her lawyer reminded everyone that she is innocent until proven guilty and that she is still registered at Crate and Barrel. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. An 86-year-old is arrested for complaining about pizza. Wake up, sheeple. The Department of Homeland Security is keeping records of your toppings.
Oh,
I guess that would have been better if we'd actually set the story up.
Well,
you know, an old woman was arrested.
She called 911
and complained about pizza.
Complained about
times.
The pizza not delivering 20 times in a half hour. That'll get you in the clink.
Wake up, sheeple. The Department of Homeland Security is keeping records of your toppings. Is that better?
That's better.
Oh, good. All right, so tomorrow, Riley, as you said, what we got, Morgan Spurlock, Joe Pantoliano, James Howard Kunstler, you and I. It's a good show today.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And remember, a week from tomorrow, City Bakery, New York City, we'll be there. You be there. Have a great day, Maren.
You too, Riley.
Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.